As Pastor Reed has already said, this picture is something that's very relatable for us given our proximity to the Barossa or other wine regions. Perhaps you, along the way, have even worked in a vineyard. So it's just as relatable to us as it was when Jesus first spoke these words. When you picture a vine, you see the whole thing joined. The vine, the branches, the fruit, the leaves. It's vitally connected. The vine flourishes when it's tended, nurtured, when time is invested. Within this text, within this reading, we see a picture of with me or without me. This text talks about the big picture perspective as well. Jesus was all about bringing glory to his Father. Our role in connection with Jesus through his words is to bear fruit, to bring glory to the Father. So reading from John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it is even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
I didn't grow up with trees that needed to be pruned. Nothing. We didn't have these beautiful lemon or oranges or grapes. We had crab apples. We had maple trees. We had all these sorts of trees that you didn't have to cut anything off. And so coming to Australia and encountering all these beautiful kinds of citrus and the grapes, the vines, and watching and hearing about pruning, it's been an amazing process. But what my dad heard one time, not about pruning, but in order to strengthen the trees, my dad heard that if you took a 2x4 and went out to all the trees and you whacked them, that they would grow stronger on the outside. This was a most embarrassing thing for me. We lived in the country, and when my dad heard about this, he took the 2x4 out every afternoon, and he'd go out and he'd whack all the trees. Smack, smack, and people would drive by on the highway honking their horns, laughing at us. And you know what? It worked. Amazingly, the buffeting and the pain of inflicted, not that you should go out and beat your trees, but the hardness of life for that tree actually made the bark thicker. And maybe that's the same with this pruning that Jesus is talking about, or this whole parable that Jesus speaks of when he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Let's stick with that for a second. Do you have your Bibles with you today? If you don't, you can flick through your phones, or we're going to go through this pretty much line by line today. So I understand that in verse 5 it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. But in my mind, all throughout my growing up years, I thought it said the same thing twice. I am the vine and you are the branches, but it doesn't. This chapter 15 starts out differently, and I read it again for the first time, if that makes sense. What does it say? What word did I miss in those first? True. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I am the true vine, not just I am the vine. Well, what does that mean? Why is that word true so important? Because it must mean that there's other kinds of vines out there vining for our attention. Right? If Jesus says, I am the true vine, Jesus knows that the branches can be perhaps grafted into something else. And we find it no surprise that we and our branches are grafted into other things and vying for our attention all throughout life. And perhaps we haven't seen it in such magnitude as we did in the last year, as we're drawn to other things, or we've been made to put into other things. We've been separated, we've been isolated, we've been distanced, and we've forgotten, perhaps. There's a tribe in Papua New Guinea called the Fulali tribe. An anthropologist was studying them for 10 years, and he found that they had no trace of clinical depression in the midst of the tribe. And so he pondered this and he wondered about this. They're some of the poorest people on the planet, and yet there is no trace of depression amongst these people. And why is that? There were three main things. One was their diet. They eat pretty well. They eat fish and they eat beans. So there's your lunch today if you want to be healthy. They are active, but they are also personally connected. The most important thing he said was in their close-knit community, they continue to stay connected. They remain with each other. That was a key for their own mental health. And I thought to myself, well, how are we distracted? How are we grafted into other things? If Jesus is the true vine, what's trying to pull us away? Well, there's all sorts of things. And we can tell by the fruit that it bears. Supposedly, you know, if we're engrafted into an online and totally online life, we lose this sense of probably how do we love each other? How are we with each other? How do we care for each other? That's a fruit that is somewhat missing perhaps in our day-to-day. If we are totally grafted into the media or even the news, what kind of fruit does that bear? Yeah, it could be. It's pretty depressing, isn't it? It's scary. It's fearful. The fruit that we bear is to circle ourselves up in selfishness and say, I gotta protect myself. That's a fruit. Jesus orients us to this right away. I am the true vine. Stay with me. Remain in me. And then he says he orientates us to who God is. Who is God? Who's the Father? Gardener. Who's a gardener in here? Anyone? There's got to be at least one. Nobody wants to admit it. What does a gardener do? What's the main priority of a gardener? To do what? Tend the garden, yes. So that the garden does what? What's the point? Grows. It produces, right? The gardener's main responsibility is to make sure that the plants are producing. There's no point in planting weeds. I think. What was that back there? You don't need to do that, no. The gardener does not point. The gardener wants the good stuff to produce and to produce well. And how does this happen? Well, God's the gardener. And God's been a gardener since the Garden of Eden, right? And all throughout time, God continues to garden and to help people produce. I am the true vine and the Father is the gardener. And so what does the gardener do? How does the gardener produce this? It says, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. Knowing that we were going to talk about this, I cut off a branch from a tree last week. Can you tell what kind of branch it is? What a pathetic excuse for a lemon tree, right? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wanted to see what would happen. When you cut off a branch from a tree and if it's producing fruit, what does it look like? It withers. Does it wither immediately? It takes a while. This is a week old withering. The fruit's still on there. Can you see that? It's a good looking fruit. It withers, but it's dried and it's drying up, but it doesn't happen instantaneously. What happens in our relationship with God when we choose to not remain, when we choose to leave? What happens? We wither. And it doesn't happen instantaneously. It's a slow drying process. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever just been in a place where you're thinking, why does not life feel like it used to? And then it hits you that you've removed yourself from the core and the source of life for us, the one that produces fruit. And the fruit that we do produce is not really good looking, is it? So God, the gardener, continues to want to help us, so he produces or he prunes us. He prunes the things that aren't fruitful. Everything that needs to grow needs to be pruned. But then he says this strange thing in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. What does that have to do with anything? So he's talking about pruning, and then he says, you're already clean. Well, the word for pruning is the same as the word for to be made clean in this circumstance. So if we read it this way, you're already pruned because of the word I have spoken to you, which tells us exactly how the gardener prunes the vine, how the gardener prunes the branches, by the word of God. And that's not the most fun place to be at times. When the word of God dwells deeply within us and points out those things that probably don't need to be in our lives, that's a very difficult thing. But they need to be removed. So we're made clean. We're already with him. So then we get to this main verse in verse 4. Remain in me, and I in you. Stay with me. Remain in me. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you stay with me. What would happen if I took my lemon branch and stuck it in the ground? Is it going to grow? Why not? What? Yeah, but what difference does that make if it doesn't have roots? What? It's not connected to the main branch. That's right. If I just stuck this in the ground, if I planted anything in the ground that didn't have roots, it's not going to grow. That's why we have to remain in the main branch. What would happen if I grafted this to another tree? Would it grow? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Let's say I grafted to an orange tree. What's going to happen? Is it going to produce oranges? I don't understand pruning. When God speaks to us as the gardener, when Jesus says, remain in me, in this verse 4, and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce by itself, we have to remain in Jesus. But you know what the most beautiful part is? When Jesus says, remain in me, there's no option otherwise. It's not that this branch chooses to go put itself on a lemon tree. It's already there. When Jesus says, remain in me, he's saying to all his people, you're already my people. But it's your choice. You have free will if you want to lop yourselves off. Do you know how beautiful that is? That you don't have to choose God, but he chooses you? Do you know how beautiful it is that the only choice that you have is to remain in him because you're already there? There's a gospel message dwelling deeply inside that. That for all of you who are worried about this burning and this branches a little bit later on, it's not for you. And It's never been designed for any of God's people. Because the good news in the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for each and every one of you, and remaining in him is assured through Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not remain in me, he's thrown aside like a branch and he withers. What does it mean? What does it mean to remain in Jesus? No, that's a question for you. I want you to ponder that. What does it mean to remain? Does it mean simply coming to worship on Sunday morning? Does it mean just reading your Bible or praying? Say that again. Yeah, thank you. It's living in Jesus every day. So it's not just the 1 or 2 hours on Sunday. It's not my morning devotions of 7 minutes plus a quick 30-second prayer. He's the life source. And when we're connected into Jesus, there's something beautiful that happens, not just on that one day a week, but for the 6 days that follow. Because what happens is that's where the fruit is produced and given. Another 6 days of producing what God has already started in our lives. Can I give you an example of what that looks like? Now, when I first heard this story, I didn't believe it. Because sometimes, you know, stories like this, I don't know. There's a butcher in our congregation. It's fascinating. This butcher and I had a discussion. And this butcher has the ability to be able to connect with people unlike many that I've ever seen. On Christmas, just before Christmas this last year, this lady came in to meet with the butcher. And she knew that butchers are overworked quite a bit at Christmas time. So she brought him a box of chocolates. And this butcher, he was so thankful, he's so grateful, that he took the chocolates and said, "What are you going to do for Christmas?" he asked this lady. And she said, I don't celebrate Christmas. So if you know this butcher like I know this butcher, that's waving a red flag before a bull. And so he said to her, "Tell me about that." So he's working in the butcher shop. "Tell me about why you don't celebrate Christmas." And she said, "My grandfather was a Jew in Russia at the time when Hitler's armies were coming into Russia across all of Europe. So her grandfather had to escape Russia. And so what did he do? He walked from Russia to Holland on foot. Along the way, there were very, very few opportunities for people to express the love of God to bring him in, of course, because he's walking through enemy territory the whole way. Until he got to Holland. And Case said, the butcher said, "That's where I'm from." She goes, "Oh, yes, that's fascinating." So he gets all the way to Holland, and somewhere in the midst of Holland, there was this underground people who would hide the Jews. And her grandfather was hid in the basement of this butcher in Holland. And Kay said, "That's amazing." I mean, this butcher said, "That's amazing. My grandfather was a butcher in Holland." She said, "Where was he a butcher?" And he told her. And she goes, That was my grandfather. That was your grandfather." 80 years later, a woman comes into a butcher shop with a box of chocolates for the man's grandfather who saved her grandfather. Now, if I think about bearing fruit, what would have happened if this butcher had not decided to ask the next question, to ask the fruit-bearing question? Say, "Tell me about why you don't celebrate Christmas." We could have left it at that. We could have just said, "No, my spirituality ends on Sundays." But this butcher said, "I'm remaining in Jesus Christ, so I'm impelled, compelled, and want to ask the next fruit-bearing question. Tell me about your life and what that has to do with Jesus." That's a fruit-bearing question. And my prayer is that you have those fruit-bearing questions also throughout life, because what happens when you do? Verse 7. If you remain in me, if you stay with me and you ask those fruit-bearing questions, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever it is that you desire, what you want, and it will be done for you. Whatever fruit-bearing question, whatever fruit-bearing thing that you need, you could ask your Father and say, Heavenly Father, I need help to be able to express my faith to this person or this people or my son or my granddaughter or my niece or nephew, the one I'm really struggling with. I want to bear fruit in that relationship. I can ask that because I'm connected to the true source, the true vine. We can do that. You can do that. Remain in me. Stay with me. Ask those questions so that we can bear fruit. And what happens when that happens? My Father is glorified by this. Imagine this world and what would happen if people heard the word Christ and Christianity and religious faithful people in the Christian church, and they, instead of thinking in themselves negatively, they thought, what great fruit is brought about by those who are connected to the true vine. Because the gardener's true hope and the gardener's true wish is that we produce much fruit. And they prove to be my disciples. God bless you this week as you are staying connected, staying with Jesus Christ on the true vine, so that you can bear fruit all week long. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We know that we've been connected to you. We know that you've given us all of life and all that we need. So prune the things that we don't, the things that stop us from bearing fruit, and help us to look out into this world, to speak the words that you've spoken to us first, that you love us, that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for us, and that there's so much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise as you're able as we sing.